One of the things that we need to pledge to give up when we leave Mormonism is Mormon Standard Time. Which apparently we've all been unsuccessful at doing. I know there'll be a lot more coming in the next few minutes. You know, they have to make choices, the conference or another drink. Would like to welcome you to our annual conference put on by the Ex-Mormon Foundation. And once again, we have a lot of new people this year, which is always really good to see. And I always tell everybody that's a little bit nervous about coming that be sure and be there for Friday night, because it will make them feel right at home, and by the time the evening is over, they won't feel like a stranger. So we'd really like to welcome you, and I'm glad to have you here. We have a few more out there and a lot more coming tomorrow. So I basically just have a bunch of announcements to make, and some of them are pretty important because there's one little mistake in the program which I need to tell you about. One of the first things that I would like to do is, we have this gentleman that has belonged to our group for a long time, and he's an author, and he's written a book which probably a lot of us have read or passed on to other people. That's called The Keystone of Mormonism. And I would like Arza to come up here so we can just give him a round of applause and a very deep-hearted thanks. This book has been so influential in so many people's lives, and one of the reasons it's so great that he gives these to us each year is that for a lot of people it's an extra copy, and it's a really great thing to pass on to somebody who's just starting, you know, to question and start their journey out of the church. We really want to thank you, Arza. And Rick Randall, are you here? All right, could you stand up for a minute, please? He won't want to, but he... Rick has given me lots of ideas over the years for conferences, and because he's an old-time Salt Laker, he has lots of contacts, and this year he contacted me about an idea to place an ad in the Sunstone program where we could approach a lot of people who are kind of borderliners, and he was willing to pay for that ad for us so that we could get it in, and I really would like to give him a round of applause for that. Okay, tomorrow after the last session in the afternoon, the last session is our breakout, so you choose one of the two. In the conference room, which is the little room right next to the foyer area, we're going to be showing the DVD 8, The Mormon Proposition. And I know that some have seen it, but there's a lot of people who haven't. The room is not super large, so we can only get about 20 people in there with extra chairs. So I've prepared a sign-up sheet, which will be out on the table. And if you would like to see that, if you haven't seen it before, you're welcome to sign up. And first come, first served, when this is full, that's all we'll be able to do. But it is a fabulous DVD, and it'll knock your socks off about some of the documentation and so forth that you were able to dig up about the involvement of the church with the Prop 8 election. Well, it'll be about 5:30, about sometime between 5 and 5:30, depending on when we end, tomorrow afternoon. After your, and the showing of the In the Shadow DVD. So tomorrow, the last session, there'll be a divider go across the room, and you will choose between the two sessions that'll be going on which are in your program. One other little caution, which probably doesn't apply much to any of you here, but we do sometimes have people wander in who are aware that we have a hospitality room right next to here that has quite a bit of drink and snacks and so forth. And we'd like to ask that you not go in and out of that room other than the times that we have designated for hospitality time. And we will try to get it locked up during the day. Last year we kind of fell through on that, and there were some people who made hay with the booze. Is there a question in the back? I see an arm. Okay. Yes, go ahead. That's what I was just explaining. The breakouts, there are two choices. And after the session before that, this wall will be pulled across, and you will choose one or the other. That isn't. That's something totally separate. After those two sessions will be the showing of the Prop 8 DVD. Okay. We have on these tables over here books that are for sale by people who have either presented at the conference before or are presenting this year. And so those over there are for sale. These books, everything that's on this table is for the door prizes after we eat tomorrow night. So just to make that real clear. So don't anyone take any of these books. And I know that earlier, a couple of Pam's books have already been taken from the table, but she wasn't here and no one has paid for them. So if you're one of those who took a book to look at, you need to either put it back or find her. Pam, are you in here? Okay, can you stand up so they'll know? Because all the authors are selling the books themselves, so find her and pay for the book if you took it, please. Tomorrow, during the noon hour, we are going to have something I think is going to prove to be very entertaining. I was told again by Rick Randall about a presentation that was made at Sunstone during the lunchtime, which was a compilation of film clips that were from the Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert shows about Mormonism, you know, some of the things that they come up with, and also some our favorite Mormon, Glenn Beck. So if you want to see those, you'll need to get your lunch ordered ahead of time. And I have some slips that give you like five choices. And I will have those available after tonight. You can find me, and they'll also be out on the table. And you'll need to make your selection and write a check or give cash, whatever you choose to do. And then those will be ready for you when we break for lunch tomorrow. And you can go out by the restaurant. They'll have them set up. And you can just grab them and come back in here. And then you'll be able to eat your lunch while you're watching the film clips. So either see me or find the stack that's out there. And those, I don't think I've got them with me. I think they're out there. But anyway, there's like five choices of sandwiches and salads and so forth. So you circle the one you want. And anything else extra that you want, and then leave your money, and that will be ready for you at noontime. What? Everybody in favor. No, everybody in favor. You know, right brain, left brain? We're going to use this one. Okay. And on your, if you look in your program, I want you to cross this out because it has to do with what I just told you. Where it says lunch on your own, that's still true. But the part where it says you may pre-order a box lunch at the hotel restaurant, just please cross that out because that was the way it was going to be until I got here and they decided in the kitchen to do it a little bit differently, which will really be a better way of doing it. So just cross that out and put fill out form and that'll remind you what you have to do. Okay, how many of you are aware of the new PR campaign that the church is doing where they're making videos.
I am the quiet child.
Anyway, the church is making videos of everyday Mormons who tell us all about their lives, and then at the end they say, and I'm a Mormon. And those are being, I think it's six states, they have released that PR campaign. So, of course, the ex-Mormons have to have an answer to it. There's already on YouTube, I think, a handful of videos that have been made where at the end they say, and I'm an ex-Mormon. So, we have someone here for the weekend. His name is Dan. Would you please stand up, Dan? He made the very first one. I believe you did the first one that went up, didn't you? The first, I am an ex-Mormon. Okay. He will be here all weekend. Anyone who wants to film an I am an ex-Mormon video, see him to do that. And he will also be here all day Monday and Tuesday and will film anywhere from like Provo North. And north of Salt Lake a ways. So if you want to do it here, fine. If you know people who might be interested, you know, they can do it on Monday or Tuesday. And I've seen a couple of, I mean, the one he showed us last night was unbelievably powerful. And he's already been doing some. I mean, he came from Canada and worked his way down with his video camera. So he's got several in the can already. But if you're interested in doing that, be sure and contact him.
Or if any of your friends are interested.
Right. Okay. Also, those who are not going to view the film clips tomorrow, lunchtime at the restaurant here in the hotel is a madhouse usually because so many just want to stay in the hotel, and I can understand that. But if you want to venture out, we do have an hour and a half break, and on the table out there are a list of restaurants, and the ones on the first sheet are the ones that are the closest to the hotel, and there are quite a few within walking distance. And if you have a car, you know, you could easily make it somewhere and back. So if you're interested in that, there is a restaurant list made, and it's and you can get a copy out at the table. Now, the last thing I just want to point out is that because our time, our conference is just one day, and we do cram quite a bit into it, several years ago, we made the decision that we would get really kind of comprehensive bios on all the speakers, and we would not have like a formal introduction like they do at some of the symposiums and so forth because it just takes too much time. So as the day proceeds, the speakers will just be introduced, and you by that time will have a chance to read their bio and kind of know a little bit about their background and so forth. And again, I'm just happy as usual to see you here, and know that our experiences out of the church range from everything from haven't done it yet to been out for 20 years. So there's quite a variety of experiences here. And I would now like, if I can get him to put his beer bottle down, like to introduce our president, Chad Spute.
From my cold, dead hands. I'm not putting the beer bottle down, baby.
Just leave the M&Ms.
Oh, we played that game last night, didn't we, Gene? You guys missed out on the pre-party last night. We played shoot the M&Ms and the cleavage. That was lots of fun. I don't know. I feel like the good humor man. Am I selling ice cream here? What is this? Is this okay? Do I talk softly to it and pet it? What do I do? Okay. All right. Can you all hear me back there?
Yeah.
Thank you for coming to hear me speak. I know many of you have traveled hundreds of miles just to hear me speak. I'm that good. And I'm not going to give you too bad information, I promise. I was back in the drunken corner of the party so far, and it's a good contingent. I belong there. So anyway, I actually was on a train trip the other day. If you believe me, bear with me. This is a setup for a joke, because I take lots of train trips, as you all do. in the United States. We're train traveling people. Well, we once were. That's anyway, this guy comes running down the aisle, and he says, "Is there an Anglican priest?" And there was no answer, and he went running back down the aisle. About 5 minutes later, he comes running. He says, "Is there a Catholic priest?" No answer. And he comes running back about 5-10 minutes later, and he says, "Is there a rabbi?" And this guy, like four seats up from me, stands up and he goes, well, I'm a Mormon bishop. Can I be of assistance?" And he turns to him and goes, "Hell no. I need a corkscrew. You're no bloody help." So anyway, it's worth it to travel on the train just for that reason. Oh, you can't. Okay. So is everyone having a good time? I thought maybe we should start out with like an ex-Mormon wave. Like, you know, go like this. So you ready? Because we've never done this at the Ex-Mormon Conference, so let's do it. You guys at home listening to this, looking at naked pictures while you watch, listen to the conference, you're missing out. Okay, ready? Starting on this side, wave! Oh, you guys are horrible. Ew. This side is obviously still Mormon and not very much fun. So again, ready? Oh, all right, I'm not doing it again. This is a disappointment. Let's just say you guys are on the Lord's left side. You know that story you hold her. Anyway, I'm just saying that. Okay. Okay, so how many of you are here for the first time? All right. Are you afraid to be here? Are some of you coming? Oh, she's afraid. Well, I know, darling. It's okay. We'll talk about your fears later. We'll get where. Okay, so you're a little afraid. Okay, how many of you are out of the church just this year? Okay. How many within the last 5 years? All right, the last 10 years. Okay, so the 5 years are pretty much the contingency. Okay, so why do we do this every year? Do you like coming to the conference? Are you excited to be here? Or are you just like, well, I figured, you know, it'd be a weekend with drinking and talking and meeting with ex-Mormons and bonding? I mean, why? That was it. Jean drives, she drove all the way from Canada to bond and drink. Wow. That's great. Glad to help you. I think the purpose of the foundation, at least in my position, I've been in the foundation when I just left the church in 2006. One of the things that really helped me were the recordings, and Tal Bachman's recording and Ken Clark's recording, and all these other people had put their voices online, and I could listen to those people and connect to them and go, wow, these are real living human beings that have gone through the same struggles that I have, that have realized that they were devoting their lives to a lie and a fraud and a cult. Do we say the word cult? I think. Anyway, I do. I love it. It's a good word. But when you have that connection with somebody, then you begin to realize you're not crazy, you're not insane. So I want you all to say, I am not crazy and I am not insane. Ready? 1, 2, 3. You have just confirmed by that you are, yes, crazy and insane. Okay. The party can now begin. I now know who I'm with. I'm with crazy people. Say yes. Yes, bow your heads and say yes. Okay. What I wanted to do, just to kind of give you a little bit more of a background, because you guys go on your merry way after the conference, you've had lots to drink, you've had lots of fun, you've told your stories, you've bonded like Gene, and then you go away for a year, and then some of you come back the year next. Well, those of us that are still on in the board of the foundation, by the way, I got to let them raise their hand. Board people, where are you? Not board people, please. You in the back. No, I'm just kidding. We've got this lovely man here. Stand up. This is Nathan, who makes some of the best beer. He had to leave Mormonism to find his calling as a beer maker, as a brewmeister. Yeah. Okay. You've met Sue. We love Sue, right? Okay. Sue deserves every accolade she gets. I've decided to call her the dominatrix this year. She's crossed over. So, okay, riding crop aside, we still love her. Where is Kathleen? She's outside. And you've met Tom. And where's Mickey? Okay, they're all outside. So when you go outside, you'll see the rest of the board, and you'll know they're the board outside. Wait, the best of the game. Jean, stand up, Silver Fox. There she goes. Okay, now bear with me. There is a reason in my madness here to talk a little bit about this. I want to read you some of the responses. The foundation, I think, in the last, probably 4 years, has done a lot to put its presence out there, a lot on the internet, and it's having its impact. Obviously, you're here because you found us on the websites or through the message boards and whatnot. How many of you just stumbled upon the foundation online? You were like, ex-Mormon, and there we were. Were you shocked? What was it like? Wow, they have a colorful website. They have pretty pictures. Aren't the pictures pretty? I like that. When we changed that, before the website looked like a funeral page, I thought, geez. Anyway, my personal preferences. So let me read you what some of the Mormons that come, that stumble onto our website, what they've said to us, just so you can kind of get a flair of how fun it is. Wrong page. Bear with me 1 second. Okay. Why is it your business? What I or any other Mormon believes. Mind your own business and live your own life. Stop being hateful, prejudiced, and busybody. Go get a life and do something worthwhile instead of recruit people to your immature little prejudice cult. That's a fun one. This is another fun one. We get a lot, at least I've had some of these personally. These are fun. I have a lot of things to say to you, but it all turns into one sentence. Plug your ears if you're offended. Suck a dick. All you do is put down other people's beliefs. Most people don't care about put downs and telling people the beliefs are fake. So I hope you take this to heart and realize that people like you are the reason there are contentions among religions. Now, if only we'd known that, there could be peace in the Middle East today. If Obama had contacted us, it could have been so... Oh, such a simple thing. Okay. So with that, I'm going to tell you another joke because it leads into this. There was this Jewish archaeologist who was digging in Israel and sites of some ruins, and he came across this copper wire that was buried about 5 meters in the ground. And he said, this is evidence that the ancient Hebrews had a form of electronic communication. Okay? Well, not to be outdone, the Muslim archaeologist digging in Jordan dug 10 meters into the ground, and he also found a wire and said the same. He said, well, 1,000 years before the Jews, we had communication by electronic means. Well, not to be outdone, our friends at BYU excavating over at the Hill Cumorah, this particular archaeologist dug 5 meters in and found nothing but dirt. Dug 10 meters in, found nothing but dirt. Dug 20 meters in and found nothing but dirt. And he stood up and he said, this is proof. This confirms it, that the ancient Nephites had wireless communication 2,500 years ago. So there you go. Good old BYU. Now, on the inverse of that, we have had positive comments from probably some of you, and I want to read some of these to you because they're kind of heartwarming when we get them amidst the fun of the others. If it weren't for the internet and ex-Mormon Foundation, I would be a Mormon still. Need I say more? I have been an ex-Mormon since 1999. In recent interactions with an old friend, I feel that he will be coming to me with questions. I am so far out of Mormonism that I have put the church behind me. I am truly enjoying the 2009 conference recordings. There has been so much more research out there compared to 13 years ago when I started my research. Thank you for bringing this to the world. I think with this information, I can help this friend out of Mormonism, or at the very least, get him thinking. Another one that said, what gets me the most is that those who become disillusioned were the most dedicated, the most faithful, the most devout, the missionaries and churchgoers, the very folks you'd think would be the least likely to defect. The willingness to leave one's cultural roots requires tremendous courage. My salute to each and every one of you. Now, I say this almost at every conference, but I do salute each and every one of you. So please, I know it's cheesy, but give yourselves a round of applause because you got out of the Mormon cult. It's a big deal. You do need little pats on the back. I mean, it's okay. It's okay. All right. With this, why I'm trying to prime the pump here, if you will, the foundation has been doing these conferences since the late 90s, and we're now in to 2010. And we're getting to the point where we need people to join to help us out to keep the conferences going, okay? To be blunt, it's iffy if we'll continue the conference next year, okay? We can't do this indefinitely. So what I'm doing is I'm saying, please, if you have any interest, if there's any fire in your belly to be involved in this type of thing, please volunteer and please help us out. It's not a tremendous amount of work. We're not taking 12 months of hard, strenuous work and whatnot. That's what Sue's job is for. The rest of us just look pretty. No, we're kidding. No, I'm not. But we do need your volunteerism. We need your help. So if you have any interest at all, please join with us and do that. We want to keep this going for years to come, but it's going to take people to step up and help out. I've been the president now for 3 years, and I think you're probably sick of me, so it's time for somebody else to come along. And I know Sue feels the same, so if you have this desire, she is sick of me. Sue is. She told me that. I'm sick of you. Don't show up. No, at least not sober. Okay. Now to end on a somber note, not really somber, but a really nice little piece that an individual who posts a lot on various internet boards, I copied this years ago when he posted it, and I think this kind of summarizes a little bit about what we do, and this is called the Parable of the Box. And those of you who have heard this, bear with me. Those of you who haven't, I hope you'll enjoy it. He said, there once was a boy who lived all his life with a cardboard box over his head. His parents taught him that he should never take the box off, for doing so was dangerous and foolish. The box protected him from the scary world outside of it. On the inside of the box, he could make out some letters, and he could see the outlines of the box around him. His world was brown cardboard. His parents taught him to study the inside of the box carefully, for in it was all the wisdom he needed to navigate life. Inside the box was security and safety. Inside the box was reality. Some of his friends told him that they had taken off the box and life was much better, but he didn't believe them. His parents made sure he stayed away from these people who clearly wanted only to hurt their boy. But as he grew older, he found that he kept bumping into sharp and painful objects that he couldn't see because of the box. His parents told him that those things weren't real, that he was safest and happiest inside the box, but each day brought more injury as he seemed to constantly run into painful things. Just take off the box so you can see where you're going, said his friends. No, you can't. You'll hurt yourself, and you might even die, warned his parents. After too many painful days, he made up his mind to see what was out there on the other side of the box. The light hurt his eyes briefly, but after a moment he could see colors and trees and sky. It was more beautiful than anything he had ever imagined. He looked around and saw his friends, who smiled at him and welcomed him into a better world. And then he saw them. His parents and friends came groping toward him, boxes on their heads. He called out to them, "Take the boxes off. You'll see that there's so much more out here. Trust me." But his parents told him sadly, "We have failed as parents. All we ever wanted was for you to be happy. And now you've rejected us and everything we told dear. Please, son, put the box back on for us. You'll see that we know what's best." "But Mom, Dad, it's so beautiful out here, and the world is so full of possibilities. Can't you just lift the box, if only for a moment? You'll see that I'm telling you the truth." His parents turned sadly and told their friends, "We have lost our son. Let this be a lesson to you. This is what happens when you take off the box." And they groped their way slowly away from the shining sun. That's what the foundation does, folks. We're here to help people take off the box. Each of you that has taken off your own box can now share that enlightenment, if you will, with the rest of the world, and I hope you will. So please do what you can. If you don't want to join the foundation and help us out in this regard, do whatever you can, whether it's putting something out on the various discussion boards, or if it's forming a personal group where you guys live. How many of you have groups where you guys live, where you guys meet with regularly? Okay, so is this a thing that helps? Okay, so do it. Do what you can. And that's all I have to say. Any other questions, comments? I don't have a rah-rah finish, a Beethoven finish. Oh, please, please. The dominatrix.
I think the Chad didn't quite say,
uh-oh,
don't just need people to help. We need people who will run for the board. Because some of us have been on the board for 7 or 8 years, and we just need some fresh ideas, fresh people. People's lives change. They no longer can do it. Most of it's done online. Like Chad said, it's not a huge time commitment, but it's a position commitment we need to have in order to continue to do the conferences. I mean, it really has come down to quite some time where it's only one or two people, even off the board, because of other commitments they have, we really do all the work. So
yeah.
We would really, when the call goes out to run for the board, we'd really appreciate you giving us a serious thought. And like you say, it truly is not a huge time commitment, but we need some new people.
And I can't use guilt anymore. I'll try. Oh, do you really want us to suffer? Oh, look at the suffering we've done to put this conference... No, I'm not going to... No, okay. Anyway, I hope you... Oh, go ahead, Stan.
No, I just had... It probably doesn't get said enough. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. She does. Oh, look at this. Look at her, how she's aged. Yeah, I think we should do the guilt things. That's good. Anyway, have a wonderful weekend. If you don't know anybody, you're feeling afraid, you will be by the end of this weekend. Those of you that have been here before, you will be fast friends with lots of folks. I find that alcohol is a wonderful social lubricant to help that along. So those of you that are new to this experience, please see me. I will gladly mix you a couple of drinks and get you drunk. All right, have fun.
I made a decision a couple of months ago that we would start a new tradition, that we would have a reading every year just prior to when we open the mic up for all of you to talk. And then that kind of got buried in the details of everything else. And I approached somebody to give us a reading that I told him I would supply. And then I got on the airplane and came down here and forgot my computer. And so I couldn't reach him for 2 days, and this afternoon I really dropped it in his lap. And I knew he could do it because he has created a really great, one of the new websites for ex-Mormons called Life After Mormonism. And it's just really a good web, and he's a clever, intelligent young man. And so Micah McAllister, I told him today, dig into some of your posts that you've made and find something that you know will resonate with the whole group. So I'm going to turn a few minutes over to Micah.
You guys are beautiful. Thanks. And thanks, Sue. So I was digging around, so I found something to read. It's from an article I wrote earlier this year, and this is just a portion of it. It's called Be in the Moment. We have all probably heard the saying, yesterday is a history, tomorrow a mystery, but today is a gift. And that is why it's called present. Trust me, this is how it was every fast Sunday.
Okay. Now go on.
Okay.
Go on.
Wherever you may be in your journey, make sure you take time to be present and find peace in what you are going through in this moment. Just like a roller coaster, sometimes you'll be experiencing thrilling bumps and other times frightening drops. But in each of these times, if you focus on what is in front of you, In this moment, you will likely discover that all the power you need to face your challenges is there when you need it in that moment. I don't know why I'm doing this. Don't dwell too much in the past, as doing so will only give you power to upset you in the current moment. The past can be helpful when reviewing or applying a lesson learned from it, but otherwise it is just distracting you from being fully present and at peace right now. As for the future, unless something needs to or can be done in this moment to plan or prepare for it, let it be. It will get here soon enough, and when it does, that will be the only moment that you really have power to navigate it. When the future becomes now. If you don't allow peace to be fulfilled in this moment, you cannot hope for the future to save you and bring peace to you. When the future becomes now, it will no longer be the future. Unless you have learned to be at peace in the previous moment, you'll still be looking for some other future event to bring you that peace and fulfillment. Whether that is your spouse or family leaving the church, your family accepting you the way you are, or some other goal, if you can't let it go and be at peace right now, with each breath and passing moment, you likely won't be at peace if and when any of those goals happen. Your spouse may never leave the church, your family may never accept you. If you continue to base your identity and peace fulfillment on external sources, you'll likely remain disappointed. Put peace and happiness where control exists within you in this moment. All that you have ever needed to be at peace has always existed within you, but only in the ever current and passing moment. Thank you.
Micah's emotions remind me of just a conversation I had today with some of you about the fact that, you know, we go along and the years go along after we leave the church, and we think we're kind of over it and not too much, you know, we don't get a lot of deep, sorrowful or angry moments, but all of a sudden something comes along and triggers, you know, those emotions that are connected to that whole experience of discovering what we did about the church and making the decision to make the sacrifices that every single person here has made in order to leave the religion that used to be the center post of their lives. And that's just what happened to Micah. You know, he began to read and something got triggered, and it happens to all of us. And I think sometimes we feel like we should be over it, but we all know that, especially if you still have loved ones who are in it, it will be with you till the day you die. And so that you just have to learn coping skills, and you have to learn ways of dealing with your family. And, you know, it's been a long time for me to feel like my children kind of finally got that I wasn't going to come back and that I am just who I am. And so, and then in the last year or two, things have improved quite a bit with most of my kids. And this last month and a half, my one daughter, who probably divorced herself from me the most of any of my kids, and she actually lives like 15 minutes from me, but I rarely saw her, rarely saw my grandchildren, because she was so bitter about me leaving the church. And it's a long story, and there's been a lot of things that have happened, but in the last couple of months, she asked me to go to lunch and needed to talk to her mom. And we had a really heartfelt conversation. And when it was done, I said to her, you know, Jenny, my heart is broken many times seeing some of the stress that you're in and some of the things that have gone on with your family. And I've wanted to be there to help you, but you've pushed me away. And she came right out and said, I was so scared, Mom. I was so scared that you would try to talk to my kids. But the point I'm making, I mean, we just got a lot ironed out, and it was all of a sudden. And the thing has, you know, turned 90 degrees. And it will happen, I think, for most of us with our families, but sometimes it will take many, many years to do it. And so you just keep, as Micah says, you live in the now. You know, you can't determine the future. You can make some good plans, but as we all know, we never know if those plans are going to come about.